The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Save big money on protecting your garden now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stomper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stomper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Jordan knows he has all the support around him. He's making plays. We're out there celebrating with him. But God's in here telling him, hey, Jordan, we got your back. We're gonna make this easy for you as you're gonna make this easy for us, and we're all gonna feed off each other. So we know that, and we know it isn't just depend on one person. It takes all 11. So we're gonna go out there and play team ball.
Leadership has grown.
QB1, man.
Come on, man.
Best
Come
QB
on.
In the league right now.
So, John Money.
Now tell him stop trying me, though. You know what I'm saying?
A little love for Jordan Love, both from Aaron Jones and Jair Alexander. And look, that's just being a good teammate. I don't want to minimize what they said and what they did, but he's their guy now. And whether it's the player naturally drawing guys to him or the organization saying, there's your leader, follow him, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's good to see it happening, but this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's the way it's supposed to be. I think the thing that I look at it in just all the press conferences or interviews of players, it seems very genuine, right? Like just that right there. Like there seems to be like, you know, a refreshing vibe in that locker room about, hey, Jordan Love's our guy, and it's team and all that. Man, they speak highly of him. You can tell they like the person. And I think that's where it starts, right? Like, I mean, Jair Alexander doesn't do that if he doesn't like the guy and believe in what he's seeing a little bit, right? If he was like, oh, man, this guy's a jerk and he ain't crap. He looks like crap in practice. He's not going to get up over there and give him love in front of the camera and act like he loves him. A DB? No, that ain't happening. So I think there's some things to glean there about, hey, they like this guy. They're seeing talent on the field, and they're hopeful, and they're trying to not put too much pressure on him and letting him know they got a pretty good team here, and they can do it, you know, without him having to carry the squad.
And let's be realistic. Regardless of whoever was to blame for the dysfunction between the front office and Aaron Rodgers for the past several years, ever since they drafted Jordan Love, but even before that, there was some stuff that was – basically kept under wraps. It came to fruition when they drafted Jordan Love. That's got to be exhausting for the player.
Right.
To have this quarterback who is so introspective and self-centered and prickly. And we had the sound from Romeo Doubs, the second-year receiver, last year.
Right.
Or last week, saying, you know, Rodgers never talked to me.
Right.
And then he starts gushing about Jordan Love.
That's what I'm trying to say. I think it's genuine there.
If Rodgers had just kind of become grumpy old man who was mad at everything, mad at the team, time for a change, that is going to wear on the teammates. And so you remove him and you replace him with somebody who's just happy to be here, happy to be part of the team. He doesn't have a stick up his ass about anything. And again, it may not be Rodgers' fault. It may all be the front office's fault.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
Still, the whole thing just wears people out.
Right.
And I think that's part of it, too. It's a reflection of they've turned the page and no more of this constant wondering, Is Aaron happy? Is he not happy? Is this his last year? Is it not his last year? Who's he upset with now? That's all gone. That's all gone. Regardless of how they feel about Aaron Rodgers, that element of their life is gone.
Yes.
And there's a certain freedom that comes with that when the next guy doesn't bring that to the table.
Yeah, agreed. You're right. It hovered over them constantly. You know, if they win, hey, Rodgers got the credit. You know, they probably felt, you know, if they lost, it was like, oh, wait, you guys let Rodgers down. That was kind of, you know, the way it was portrayed to a degree, right? And, yeah, it just, is he happy? What's going on? What message is he sending out? What's he saying in this press conference that I might have to answer tomorrow? All of that. Just it was, and it's not just Rodgers' fault. Like you said, yeah, it's everything. It just boiled to a point where there was constant scrutiny on that football team there. I'm excited for the Packers, Mike. Like if you had to pick playoff teams right now, I know we know there's a top three in the NFC, right? And I think you and I both agree that the rest of the division, the conference is up for grabs. But, man, I look at Green Bay, and, like, when we have to pick playoff teams, Green Bay is going to be a team that man, their defense has got talent. It didn't play as good as it could last year. The offensive line's pretty good. They're young receivers. You know, Matt LaFleur is a damn good coach, right? So they're like one of those teams where, yeah, the pressure's off. They're flying under the radar. But I would not be shocked if they got to the playoffs this year with Jordan Love at quarterback.
I think they're going to be better than people realize.
Yeah.
The division is wide open.
Right.
And Matt LaFleur won 13 games three straight years while in the middle of this Aaron Rodgers turmoil. He was the guy who was caught between Rodgers and the front office. And what were we dealing with 4 years ago? The audible thing. The passive-aggressive Rodgers attempt to take to the media his frustration because Matt LaFleur wanted to run the offense a certain way, and Rodgers was like, hey, I've been here 15 years. I should have full and complete discretion to change the play to whatever I want to change it to. I shouldn't have two options in the huddle. I should be able to change the play if I see something that I think is going to work. And so he won that one. He knew how to press the buttons and pull the levers to win that one by using the media to his advantage. And Matt LaFleur still won 13 games. He adapted. He adjusted to the personality of Aaron Rodgers. I think LaFleur is going to be fine. I think the Packers are going to be fine. There's three wild card spots up for grabs in the NFC. And I think the Packers organizationally have enough there to find a way to get one of them.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to make my official pick yet, but I'm with you. I think they're going to be better. There's a lot of people out there that are just happy to throw dirt on this Packers grave because they've been great for 30 years. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the 20 years before they got Brett Favre. They sucked every year.
Yeah, they did. Right.
They've had 30 years of sustained contention, even though they've only won two Super Bowls. Every year they're good. They're not just going to disappear.
No, there's a culture
in this transition
there.
Year from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love.
Yeah, exactly right. There's a culture, you know, a battle-testedness that I like to say every now and then. I don't think they're going anywhere. And like you said, you know, that division's wide open. And the team that everybody expects to win really hasn't proven jack diddly squat yet, right? And this is the first time they got a bullseye on them, and that's Detroit I'm talking about. So, I expect Green Bay to be a major player. I'm with you there, Mike.
All right, the Vikings have yet to have a quarterback transition. That might happen next year. More on that in a minute. For now, Kirk Cousins meeting with reporters yesterday during the Vikings mandatory minicamp, and he said something that caught my ear because Kirk Cousins is not the kind to just throw around reckless speculation like me. Here's Cousins talking about the possibility that recently released running back Dalvin Cook could actually be back with the Vikings. Here he is.
I'm excited to see where he goes. I'll always be pulling for him, and I kind of am optimistically hoping maybe we get him back. Who knows? But maybe there's an outside chance, so we'll see.
I feel really good about our running back room, and Alex Mattison is a huge reason why. I think he's proven that he can, whether over the past few years when he stepped in there, handling a really good workload and producing, and also just in our short term together, his ability to handle the roles and responsibilities of that position in our offense. So I feel great about where Alex is at. The next step in his career is just obviously a little bit more consistent opportunities, which, you know, we hope to provide for him.
That was Kevin O'Connell, the head coach from Tuesday. Before that was Kirk Cousins from Wednesday. Now, he did the tell thing. He did the scratch the forehead when he was talking about the possibility of Dalvin Cook coming back. Now, I don't know. Was that his inner angst that maybe he was speaking out of turn, that he heard something that he wasn't sure he should be saying? I don't know. But again, I don't think Kirk Cousins throws that out there if he hasn't heard it from someone in a position of power and influence in the organization. Because when do you ever hear when a player gets cut, one of the players who is still there saying, I'm hopeful he'll come back? Colt McCoy didn't say, I'm hopeful DeAndre Hopkins is going to come back. Kyler Murray hasn't said, I'm hopeful DeAndre Hopkins is going to come back, because we know there's no way in hell he's coming back. But for Cousins to say that, it tells me the door's open on the possibility. Once Cook sees what's out there or what's not out there, maybe whatever the Vikings are willing to pay him is as good or better than what anyone else is willing to offer.
I'm with you in the camp of when it comes to Kirk Cousins and what he said there. I don't think he just throws that out there blindly. I don't. Yeah. I think that would be, as a player, there's a code of conduct or whatever where, yeah, you wouldn't just put pressure on the organization out of nowhere and just go, hey, I hope we sign this guy that we just released and, you know, we're trying to get rid of him and just wipe everybody's brain clear of the guy so we don't remember him. I hope we bring him back. That is rare for especially a quarterback who has a good feel usually for what's going on in an organization and what's being said a little bit more than the rest of the locker room and what's being said behind closed doors. Yeah, I would think that maybe he's been led that's a possibility of happening.
Can we play that part again, just right. The Cousins part with our mics up so we can do play by play of Cousins as he's saying what he said. I'll filibuster while they re-rack and re-cue. Those are industry terms.
But O'Connell said, do you think O'Connell was trying to really squash that there with what he said?
No, because it was before.
I know.
It was Tuesday.
Right.
O'Connell was Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
I think O'Connell has a very Serenity Now vibe where he finds a way to keep a smile on his face and characterize every glass as half full and doesn't want to upset the apple cart.
Yep.
And so I don't put a whole lot of stock in when he's kind of meanders like that.
Yeah.
I think he's doing what he has to do to just get through the question.
Right.
And we're behind Alexander Mattison. But yeah, if Dalvin Cook came back, maybe we'd be behind him too. Here's Cousins again from yesterday. If you're watching on Peacock or Sky Sports Action, watch the hand gestures and pay attention to how he caps his response on the possibility of Cook coming back. Let's play it.
I'm excited to see where he goes. I'll always be pulling for him. And I kind of optimistically hoping maybe we get him back. Who knows? But
Yeah. A little bit of like,
something in it. Not, and it's very real. It's very real. We have involuntary movements when we're in situations like that where there's any amount of stress in what we're saying. So he's crossing that bridge, and I think he's thinking, God, should I be saying, like, is am I?
Yeah, that's how I would take it.
You know,
right.
It's human. It's human, and that's why I love seeing these press conferences because, you know, and that's what I would do if I was a PR executive with a team. I would put, like grips, and like, you know, I would put something there, like on my exercise bike, there's a place to put your hands and just lock on. I would say, put your hand, want left hand here, right hand here, and don't move them and just speak, because your hands are going to betray you in many of these situations.
I hear you. You know, we're all looking for tells, and I think we enjoy it. You and I, that's what's, you know, probably annoying to players or coaches out there. We like dissecting that stuff. But, yeah, you know, and I know I said O'Connell, that he's trying to squash it. I knew he said it Tuesday. I just was saying, like, was he trying to squash that conversation altogether
in advance
with what he said? Right, yeah. What he said on Tuesday. But, yeah, I'm with you in that camp. And here, let me just throw one other thing here. A little bit of a, you know, again, the anomaly or what's going to happen with Dalvin Cook. I do find fascinating because of all the things we said leading up to this. I mean, he's still a guy that's special and got three rockets up his butt and can go to the house from anywhere, right? Now, yesterday, I'm always looking for that team or who might be interested. Who reorganized the contract yesterday, Mike, to free up $10.5 million? Do you remember off the top of your head that what happened yesterday? Cooper Kupp and the Rams, right? They did a. You got me trained to think like you. You know, I don't know if the Rams would go down that right now. Are they in total rebuild mode? Are they quietly going, hey, we're better than people think? And if we get Dalvin Cook, we might be able to sneak back into the playoff conversation. We know there was a little bit of an issue between the organization and Cam Akers last year. So I didn't mean to go there, but it's something that certainly kind of percolated in my brain yesterday when I was seeing that news.
Anytime that just kind of randomly out of the blue you see teams restructure contracts and create significant cap space, it makes you wonder what they're thinking about. Hell, they may be thinking about a run at DeAndre Hopkins, right?
True.
Exactly right. Remember when Odell Beckham Jr. was available and one of us said, I think it was me, watch the Rams?
Yeah.
And that was just throw a dart, but that's how the Rams were at the time. Now, they seem to be sliding out of that. The F them picks has become a different mindset, but DeAndre Hopkins is out there. He's lingering. Maybe we can get him away from Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They could clearly use him. I mean, Sean McVay was asked about the receiver position the other day, and he said he feels better about it than he did.
Yeah.
But still, when you look top to bottom, they need somebody to complement Cooper Kupp. It can't just be Cooper Kupp and whoever else we throw out there.
Yeah.
So it's either Hopkins or Cook that maybe they're thinking about.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. And, you know, again, that's a group there that, you know, I know they're in a little bit of rebuild, retool mode, but knowing that group and that the feisty GM and head coach – you know, they're even though maybe like, whoa, we got to pull back the reins a little bit. They're still like, we can get in the mix of things here. You know, I think they have tremendous. That's where they do have a good culture, and they've never backed down from anything. Last year was the first year we saw them kind of fall apart to a degree. But yeah, I was certainly interested by that move and what the Rams did there.
All right. The other thing that Kirk Cousins said yesterday is that he doesn't expect to have any further conversations with the Vikings about a contract extension until March, until after the season. And I had always had in my brain that the Vikings couldn't franchise tag Kirk Cousins. So I went back and looked at his contract and I fished around a little bit. There isn't a no tag clause in his contract. Maybe there was at one point, but there isn't now. The thing that's always been the impediment is because he's been tagged twice by Washington, if the Vikings would tag him even once, it would count as his third career tag, and he would be entitled to a 44% raise over his cap number in the final year of his contract. Now, his cap number currently is $20 million. My understanding, though, is that both Cousins and the Vikings agree that if he were to be tagged, it would be a 44% bump over his cap number before he restructured his contract to create some cap space. So it would be about $52 million if they were able to tag him. But here's the key. They can't tag him because his contract doesn't expire. It voids. And the contract voids after the deadline for applying the franchise tag.
Wow.
If it voids before, you could still tag him. Dak Prescott has this in his contract as well. It's one of the reasons why the Cowboys are kind of in a spot right now. Because they can't keep Dak Prescott from being franchise tagged. His contract voids after the window closes. Cousins' contract, I was told yesterday, does not void until after it's too late to tag him. He's going to be a free agent next year. So this is a big, risky move for everyone. If Cousins has a great year, there's nothing the Vikings can do to keep him from going to the open market other than paying him before he gets there. And why would he? Why would he re-sign with the Vikings until he sees what else is out there?
Yeah.
So this is 2018 all over again.
Right.
Where he's going to hit the open market, and the Vikings are either going to compete with other teams to keep him or they're not.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting, you know, turn of events there. It is. And Kirk Cousins, and again, you know, like we always talk about, not a superstar, but he's still damn good. He is. There's going to be a market for him to be a starting quarterback unless he just totally falls off earth this year, which we haven't seen. You know, I mean, he's consistently dances with 30 touchdown passes a year and is in, you know, the 10 or 11 interception range year after year after year. He's a damn good quarterback. If things don't go well with the Vikings and there's a team out there that goes, wait, our team's good, we're just missing that quarterback and we just need something consistent there, you know, they're going to pounce on Kirk Cousins. And, you know,
Rams and 49ers.
That's right.
Tug of war between the Rams and 49ers for Kirk Cousins next year.
I wouldn't be shocked, right. It's a, when you kind of said 2018 all over again, depending on what happens with the 49ers this year and that whole situation, you're exactly right. I wouldn't be shocked if it all fell apart in their quarterback room and they were looking at Kirk Cousins. That would not surprise me at all.
And McVay says, I'm not letting Cousins go to Shanahan. I'm getting Cousins here. And out goes Stafford. And again, and I know that McVay said all this great stuff about Stafford yesterday because he has to. They were kind of hoping that the Jets wouldn't get Aaron Rodgers, so the Jets would call for Matthew Stafford. They know where they are. They know what they are. They know what Matthew Stafford currently is, a very old 35, beaten up, to his credit, finds a way to fight through it.
Yep.
But you get to a point where you just can't. And here's Cousins, a guy who isn't that much younger than Stafford, but he's never hurt. He always keeps going. And McVay has that same connection to Cousins that Shanahan does, the common thread back to Washington.
Right.
And I've heard McVay privately, although I don't think it was off the record. I mean, I asked him about Cousins 5-6 years ago when he got the job with the Rams, and he went on and on about how great he is. So we'll see. All right, let's take a break. When we return, Lamar Jackson speaks about Odell Beckham Jr. They're putting in some extra work together as they get ready to team up in 2023. That and more when PFT Live continues right after this.
Suffering from aches and pains? The all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt mattress eases your pressure points all night, every night. Now, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets at Tempur-Pedic.com. Select adjustable mattress sets only. Lesser savings may apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Your first celebrity crush. My girlfriend plays soccer. She plays for the national team, so I'm just gonna say her. I'm gonna say Sophia Smith.
Zendaya.
It had to be Beyonce.
iCarly.
Kay Michelle.
Oh, probably like Dua Lipa.
I'd say Jessica Alba.
J-Lo.
Oh my God, Sierra. She was my first celebrity crush.
Jennifer Aniston, I think. That's who I was rocking with when I was younger, for sure.
That's easy. That's Kim Kardashian. We out here in L.A., so, you know, might hit her up.
That Russell Wilson, that slide in.
Hey, what about
the look on his face? The look on his face. Oh, that was so good. Well done.
Who was your first celebrity crush? Who was your first like celebrity crush? You know, I can kind of remember mine. Right? Like,
so who was yours? Well, I don't know.
Well,
it's so long ago.
You know, mine, like one of the first, like I can remember being young, going, "Ooh, she's pretty," and "Ooh, I like the way she looks." Right? Like, you know, is when like Beverly D'Angelo, right? The National Lampoon's. Right, the European vacation, Christmas vacation, European vacation, and Wally World first. But yeah, that might have been like the first woman I looked at, and she had some, you know, shower scenes and stuff where I was like, "Damn, I like her."
Okay, that will be fun. That'll be fun. This one, I got one, and this one's for Matt Casey, our coordinating producer, Angie Dickinson. All right, let's move along. Lamar Jackson has a new teammate crush in Odell Beckham Jr. They're trying their best to get together, get on the same page now that Beckham's practicing. Here is Jackson talking about the effort to get things where they need to be between himself and OBJ.
I think he looked pretty smooth.
crisp routes, great hands. As everybody knows, you know, he can catch the ball. Look pretty good out there.
You said you guys are going to be working out after mini camp. Yeah. How important are the sessions for you every season, and what are you looking forward to?
I believe it's very important just so we can just keep our chemistry going, keep building on chemistry, because the season's right there, you know. Offseason pretty much over with.
That's the key. And that's the next level stuff. And it's not really next level. It's if you want to be great, you got to be doing what the other great quarterbacks are doing. What's Patrick Mahomes going to do? He's not going to go sit on his ass for 6 weeks. He's going to be working out with his guys, especially the new guys. That's what Lamar and OBJ need to do. They need to work on their timing, their chemistry, just the camaraderie, everything that is going to be put under stress and strain when you get into the day-to-day grind of training camp. So, you know, they've got a lot of work to do just to catch up to where they would be if Beckham had been able to practice earlier in the offseason. So it's good news for the Ravens if they actually pull it off, get together, spend some time, check social media. I'm sure there'll be videos and images because that's the way it is now when guys get together and work out. But if you're a Ravens fan, you hope to see those videos of Lamar Jackson and OBJ.
Yeah, agreed. I would be shocked if we don't, you know. And then this is where, you know, OBJ is great this way. You know, he's a worker, right? And that's where, you know, people, there's a wrong perception about him there, where he can bond a team together and work. And, you know, you're going to see him and Lamar throw, but you know what's going to happen off of that, right? Then Zay Jones is going to be like, wait, you guys are down there? Let me come. And then you're going to see there's going to be three – or Zay Flowers. Sorry, I said Zay Jones. Zay Flowers is going to be like, hey, I want to come down there. And it's going to be, you know, then it's going to be another receiver. So that's the good thing. I'm excited to see this. I really am. I'm excited to see the new Ravens offense. I'm excited for Lamar and OBJ and just the potential of what the Ravens can be all together.
All right, we're going to do a draft earlier than we usually do. We call it a pop-up draft when we do it other than, like, crammed into the end of the show. So, this topic, the best new quarterback-receiver combinations. Anywhere you want to go, new quarterback and receiver getting together for the first time. Oh, and we have a trivia question.
Ooh.
You killed the trivia? Wait, no, we're going to do the trivia question. Let's do it, because everybody out there, well, not everybody, but there are people who prefer the trivia question to the actual draft, even though we don't do them very often. All right, Odell Beckham Jr. has 59 career touchdown catches. All but one of them have come from first overall picks in the draft. Eli Manning, Baker Mayfield, and Matthew Stafford, who was the only non-number one overall quarterback to throw, or number one overall pick to throw OBJ a touchdown. I think I know the answer to this one.
Okay, damn.
I'm not going to look down. I think I know.
No, yeah, I'm not looking down. No, go ahead. You guess. Go ahead. Take it. Let me hear what your guess is.
I think it's Geno Smith. I think it's Geno Smith when they benched Eli Manning.
Nope. Okay. Pete says it's incorrect. I'm not looking. Let me take one more guess here, too.
Oh, wow.
Let me just take one more guess.
This is a good one.
It is a good one?
You'll never get it.
I'll never get it, huh? Damn. Was it on the Browns or the Giants?
It
was
Browns.
It was the Browns. Who the hell played... I'm not going to get it.
Not a quarterback.
Oh, it's Jarvis Landry against the Cowboys with the reverse pass to OBJ in that game. I think it was that game. Maybe it was the other way around that game.
It was.
Wow.
It was the game where and I remember talking to Kevin Stefanski after that game. They decided, well, this guy's an incredible weapon. We got to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable what he did in Dallas.
Right.
And he tore the ACL like the next week against the Bengals. And that was that for his time in Cleveland. Even though he did come back and play, it just wasn't the same. All right. Who goes first? Go ahead. Go first anyway.
Okay.
Go
all
ahead.
Right.
You go.
All right.
I think it's me, but you go.
All right. Well, for best new QB wide receiver connection, I'm going to go to Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. I think that's the one.
What a shock.
Yeah. Well,
what a freaking surprise.
I may be more excited to see Lamar and OBJ, right? But OBJ coming off injury and all that, like, I don't know if I'm going to say he's the best right away. Wilson, hey, we saw special stuff from him last year. It's a perfect offensive fit. You know, he's got a route running ability that is, you know, not Devontae Adams, but Devontae Adams-ish. And, yeah, I think Rodgers is, of course, knows that offense is going to be comfortable, and he's going to feed Garrett Wilson the ball a lot.
I got one that you probably would take if I didn't, so I'm going to go ahead and do it now. But even though we haven't seen this guy play in a while, the idea of Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
in Jacksonville.
Right.
We've forgotten all about Calvin Ridley. He was playing for a middle of the pack at best Falcons team, and he was always in the shadow of Julio Jones. And I know that Christian Kirk's the guy who's getting paid in Jacksonville, but
no, I hear
I'm
you.
Fascinated by what Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley can do together this year.
Yeah, that would have been my next pick. So good job by you, right? I did not think you were going to take that one right there. But yeah, that does excite me because of what we saw. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is about to be a superstar, and Calvin Ridley, yeah, he hasn't played, but like to your point, yeah, you know, Christian Kirk's being paid a lot of money, and they got some other good guys there. But Ridley was on his way to superstardom, $20+ million a year wide receiver contract. That's where he was going, right? So that's where your point and your pick are good there. I'm with you all the way. All right, well, I'm going with the next guy here. I'm going to go with, I mean, the one we talked about, Lamar and OBJ. I'm going there, no doubt about it. I think Lamar, the pressure's off, and you know, between that and, you know, just Mahomes and the AFC and him not playing in December the last 2 years, I think we're going to see a big-time Lamar Jackson this year. And, of course, I'm a believer in Odell Beckham Jr. You know that. And I think he's going to be a perfect fit for that team and that offense and everything there in Baltimore.
Even though I'm not a big believer that Derek Carr can take the Saints to where they'd like to go and everybody would like to go to the Super Bowl, obviously, I still think Derek Carr and Chris Olave getting together this year could do something special. Now, look at what Carr and Devontae Adams did last year. Olave has recently said some things along the lines of how great he wants to be, and he was great last year. I mean, there was some talk about him being potential offensive rookie of the year from time to time during the 2022 season. So I think Carr and Olave, something that maybe wouldn't be obvious, but when you see it week in and week out, he's got to throw the ball to somebody, and we know he throws the ball, and he's going to throw the ball well. Olave is going to be the number one receiver, and I think that combination is going to end up being a good one.
I like where your head's at there. Agreed. You know, Carr knows how to play quarterback. Again, like Rodgers, it's an offense that's, you know, very comfortable for him. Olave, we saw his talents and skills there. They're going to use him. I would think he gets another section of the playbook dedicated to him after a year of being able to evaluate what he does good and bad and everything like that. So I hear you there. I would be shocked if that doesn't have some really good results, that combination there. And that's, again, where, you know, the Saints are one of those teams, you know, like we talked about a little earlier with Green Bay, where, like, yeah, nobody's talking about them. But if we have to pick playoff teams, I do think about the Saints as being one of those teams that was out last year that could jump back in this year, right, where we see that turnover every year. All right, now this is where it gets hard here, right? I mean, I'm going to go more along the lines of, I think the one, I don't know if it's going to be the best, but I'm most excited to see here. And that's, I think I'm going to go with Jordan Love and Christian Watson. One, I think Jordan Love's going to exceed expectations. And then Christian Watson, I think, has superstar ability. I think he has the type of ability to be, you know, a top five receiver in the NFL. He's one of those guys we talk about. Slants, go routes, see you later. I think there's a chance for real explosiveness out of that combination, especially with the way they run the ball in Green Bay.
Now, if I really wanted to be an ass, and most of the time I do.
Yeah.
Say Devontae Adams and Tom Brady. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to go off the board. And I'll just tell folks out there that when Pete Demolitis is producing and we have a draft, he has a very vast and deep array of options that he puts in the document that we share real time, and it's there, and he crosses them out as we go. And there's a lot of good ones there. And I love it when I go off the board.
Oh, I love it
when
too.
I come up with one that he didn't think of.
Who is
I'm going to go with Kenny Pickett and Allen Robinson.
Ooh.
Because I think the Steelers know damn well that they've loved Allen Robinson going all the way back to when he was at Penn State. He's been great in Jacksonville. He was great in Chicago. Last year was just a weird season where he never got a chance to develop any rapport with Matthew Stafford because Stafford couldn't throw for the entire offseason and Cooper Kupp was his crutch. And it just never worked. I think Pickett and Robinson, when you got teams focusing on Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, and they're just going to think, Robinson sucked last year. I think that they're going to have some surprises out there for for every defense they face, especially early when they're not watching Allen Robinson as closely as they need to. And I think Kenny Pickett and Allen Robinson could end up being a good combination. How do you like that one?
Yeah, I like where your head's at there. I think that's one that could surprise people. You know, you said it right, but those two guys, the other receivers on the outside, it sets up nicely for Allen Robinson, where now he can work the middle of the field, which is really what he is. I look at him as like a big slot receiver at this point of his career, with a little bit of outside value that way. And I certainly could see that. I would, you know, it might not be the big plays like it would be with Pickens and Deontay Johnson, but would not be shocked. You're right. If it had like a ton of receptions, you know, 75, 80 something receptions with him working the middle of the field and Kenny Pickett knowing how to work the middle of the field too.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, Chris's number one quarterback for 2023. You've heard of him. Ja'Marr Chase claims he has. We'll show you that when PFT Live continues right after this.
You asked about the number one player in the NFL. With very little hesitation, you said
Joe Burrow. Everybody knows that, yeah. That's easy. MVP.
He said Pat.
Who said Pat?
Joe.
Pat who?
Pat, who indeed, number one, the drama, the intrigue. Who would have ever thought? One of the all-time greats, Kadarius Toney knows. And we're going to know more about Kadarius Toney this year because I think he's going to become the number one receiver in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Look, Chris, you and I have been believers in this guy from the day that he first arrived in the NFL. Well, for me, it was the day that I saw him play in the preseason against the Titans in 2017. He was rolling to the right. He got hit in the mouth. He fired a freaking laser, just a laser. And it was the play where also he, as he was rolling out, he looked behind him for some reason at the official. I think he wanted to see if he had thrown a holding flag.
Yeah, they'll
do that
right,
from time to time.
Right.
The quarterbacks will look back. And then he rolls out and he stops and he cranks and he gets hit and it's a freaking laser. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God is
what
right.
Do we have here?
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's how I felt watching film
2020,
of him.
5 years.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's how I felt when he was coming out of college. You know, my dad will tell you the story. Because I kind of went out right away and was just like, oh, my gosh, Dad, I'm making Mahomes number one. He's got to be the best. Like, and he's like, whoa, wait, hold on. I was like, Dad, this guy, it's unreal. And it was the things you saw right there. But, I mean, where do you want to start, right? I mean, I think the first thing is maybe it was the best quarterback season in the history of the NFL. I think that's where we start, and that's why he's number one, right? I mean, lead the league in touchdowns, yards, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, right? All of that. That's where it's special. And let's just wax poetically. Forget my analysis right now.
Jeez.
I mean, he's the human highlight film, right? I mean, look at this crap. Threw two arms sideways, and it's still a spiral, Mike. I mean, we just never seen anybody do the stuff that Patrick Mahomes does. Go ahead. You jump in here, too, if you want to have some fun.
Well,
this is amazing, too.
The stuff that he does, though, he's going full speed, and he can completely shut it down. He's like Neo from the Matrix movie.
He made
Mr. Anderson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He made a Mr. Anderson reference the other day, I think, during a break. But that's what he's like. He's completely mastered it where it's all slowed down during a play, and he can put the brakes on his brain. He doesn't freak out. Now, he's told me he just goes into panic mode and he doesn't even think.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like panic.
No, it doesn't.
When he's doing it.
Right. I mean, come on. That play there, two feet off the ground, 50-yard post on the money. This is the damnedest thing ever. This is where, again, you can't even – is this a throw? Is this just a play? Whatever. It's one of the greatest highlights I've ever seen. I mean, just, hey.
And he says, hey, we have audio of it now. They used it for the trailer for the quarterback series that debuts on Netflix next month. He stands up and he says, I'm like that.
Yeah, I'm like that. That's what he says.
Yeah.
He's amazing. But like you just said, you know, the game's in slow motion for him. You know, even though he might be panicking in his brain, he's not really panicking. And then when you get into this, he's an incredible runner. Like, they could call more design quarterback runs with Patrick Mahomes. He's capable of doing that, right? He's a great scrambler for yards, and he's arguably the best scrambler by time behind the line of scrimmage that we've ever seen in football. I mean, he's Fran Tarkenton-ish that way. but it's just the way he gets it done, and it's the blend of surgicality and backyard football that's the best we've ever seen in the history of the game. Is that unreal?
That's the one I was asking him about like a week later, and he said it's just panic mode, and but they practice panic mode. That's the thing.
Yes, they
that's
do.
The difference. His head coach knows that this is one of his gifts, so they practice these situations where he has to just make stuff up, so he's comfortable making stuff up when it happens in a game.
They've embraced it. They let the artist be the artist. I mean, this right here, who has the guts to even do this? The guts, the talent, anything. I'm going to jump up and throw a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook, not over the middle or across my body, across the whole freaking field. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And then he stands in his little weird pose and he's like, oh, okay, another completion. But here's the accolades. I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, it's arguably the greatest season by a quarterback in the history of football. To do what he did, yards, passing touchdowns, Super Bowl, regular season MVP, beat a team that most people look at and go is the most well-orchestrated, built team in the Philadelphia Eagles that we've seen in football over the last 10 or 15 years. That's how people feel. And he beat them down 10. And that's where I go, I think it might be the greatest season ever. And here we are, Mike, too. It's year 7, right? And you and I have had this conversation together. He's in the GOAT conversation, and he's going into year 7. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's in the upper room with Deion Sanders, everything there. But it's the highlights, the arm, the different angles. This year he played the position and just, you know, the things we talked about with Joe Burrow, being in good throwing positions, the mechanics, playing in the pocket, the right decisions. He didn't get greedy, you know, which has been an issue for him a little through his career. So that's where the blend of backyard and traditional quarterback play was, you know, out of this world this year. And then, of course, when you talk about tough, and like we talked about with Joe Burrow, the effect on your team, I mean, come on. The whole world believes. The AFC is awesome, and I'm going to sit here right now. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if I'm going to pick in the Super Bowl, but I'm going to put the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, and that's because 15's there. That's the effect he's had, and I think we all expect it right now with how great Patrick Mahomes is.
On top of everything else, he is a great person.
Exactly.
He has never changed. Fame has not changed him. Money has not changed him. He doesn't big-time people. He doesn't act aloof. He doesn't act better than anyone. He's the kid that he always was, and he has a genuine love of the game that has not diminished. If anything, it's only grown, and that's what will carry him deeper into his career with more and more championships. And it's very simple. It's very simple. I like this question. I'm not going to break, Pete. Yeah. I like this question.
Yeah, cool.
This was from the Unbuttoned podcast, at I Won the Mums. You can get a whole bunch of mums. What is the worst team that you could ask, you could add Patrick Mahomes to and make them a Super Bowl contender? Washington seems to be ranked in the 20s in most power rankings. I'd like our chances with Mahomes throwing to Terry Dotson and Samuel. Let's do this real quick, and I'm sorry if it screws up the rest of the show. Let's just run through, because I think it's going to be very easy. Let's run through the 32 teams with a quick yes or no as to whether or not they're a Super Bowl contender with Patrick Mahomes, because I think for most of them, we're going to say yes. All right, let's do it. Bills, yes.
Yeah.
You stop me. You stop me if you disagree with
me. Go.
Bills, yes. Jets, yes. Patriots, yes. Dolphins, yes. Easy. Yeah. AFC North. Bengals, yes. Browns, yes. Steelers, yes. Ravens, yes. Easy. The South. Jaguars, yes. Titans, yes. Colts, yes. Texans?
No, that's the one where I'll draw the line.
No,
I'll go. Maybe he makes them a playoff contender, but not the Super Bowl.
AFC West? AFC West, yeah. Top to bottom, yes. Even the Broncos, yes.
Agreed.
Absolutely, yes. Rashawn Payton there, absolutely, yes. NFC East, I don't even have to go team by team. If there's a team in any of these divisions, shout it out. NFC East, yes across the board. NFC North, yes, across the board, except the Bears, maybe?
Maybe not. Maybe that'd be one I'd go. But, almost like Houston. It's like playoffs, but I can't go Super Bowl.
NFC South, wide open, a lot of bad teams. Any team there that he wouldn't make a Super Bowl contender?
Ooh.
Anyone?
I think Carolina doesn't become a Super Bowl contender. Mm. I know. It's a little – and man – You know, I don't know. I think it might be it. That might be it. Ever. Okay.
I think all of them.
Okay.
Think about him on the Falcons with all those guys they have. Think about that for a second.
I know. Yeah.
And NFC West, the Cardinals would be the one team. So three teams.
Yeah.
Three teams.
Yeah. Maybe the Rams. Rams might be another one I'd look at and go, I don't know. Yeah. It'd be interesting. I know. I at least would think about that. I'd have to digest that one a little bit.
Yeah.
But your point's real.
Texans, Bears, Cardinals, maybe Rams.
Yeah. It is.
Those are the four we'd remove. So the 28 other teams, you put Mahomes on them, and they're Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, he's amazing. And you know, Pete, I know we're going to wrap it up and we got to move on, but I want to say a few more things. To play the way he plays and have 12 turnovers on the year, that's insane. I mean, we just saw six plays where we'd go, nobody else in football other than Josh Allen would even try some of that stuff. So that's where it's unbelievable. He takes care of the ball. He's tough. He's clutch. He's the best scrambler ever. He's a great runner. Like I said, if they decided they want to do quarterback design runs, they could do it. And I don't know, you know, if any quarterback I can remember that wins more games where you go, they were outplayed or the defensive plan in that game was awesome and they still win the game. That, to me, like we showed the Tennessee Titan game. The Tennessee Titans played amazing defense in that game earlier this year. He willed the team to win. There wasn't four people open the whole game. It was a great defensive game plan. But he just he refuses. Oh, I'll just do this, and I'll throw it like this, and I'll throw that. And I this is another thing. One of the greatest arms in history, one of the greatest touch passers in NFL history. He's got it all. He's the king of the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes.
And he was the 10th pick in the draft. The Browns, Bears, 49ers, Jaguars, Titans, Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Bengals all passed. And the Saints would have taken him at number 11 if the Chiefs hadn't traded up. Think about that alternate reality.
Yeah, right.
With Patrick Mahomes in New Orleans. I think Sean Payton would still be
there. Yeah, he's still there. He is. Yeah,
if Patrick Mahomes right. had landed in New Orleans. All right, quick break. More PFT Live right after this. Every once in a while, we get an update on Carson Wentz. Back in May, ESPN told us that he is working out and he is open to opportunities either as a starter or as a backup. Okay. Not many starter opportunities out there for him, and if there was one, he'd already be on a team. Now ESPN tells us he's throwing and studying film with former Raiders and Buccaneers coach John Gruden as he awaits his next opportunity. Chris, the rosters are at 90 right now. Where's that next opportunity for Carson Wentz going to come from, and why is he not currently on a team?
Yeah, I think, you know, one, it's just the perception or, you know, I don't want to say just the perception or the chatter around Carson Wentz, right? You know, it's the questioning of the leadership and doing the right thing with the football and not being too over-aggressive and all of those things, I think, have led the NFL and everybody to kind of pump their brakes. And, yeah, he's not going anywhere until I think something happens and, you know, with a quarterback room here in the NFL. I think it's a good step for him, though, Mike. You know, it rehabilitate himself, stay on your game. You're getting coached by John Gruden. John Gruden's still talking to a bunch of coaches in football. So, you know, hopefully he can get the word out for Carson Wentz to go, hey, this guy's pretty smart. Hey, the talent's here. Hey, I think we corrected this. So I think it's a smart move by Carson Wentz to do that.
I mean, a little risk involved in sidling up to John Gruden, given how he washed out of the Raiders. He's got a lawsuit against the NFL and the commissioner. I was surprised the Saints brought him in. I heard the Saints got no pushback from the league as a result of that. Maybe that helps cleanse the palate a little bit to let others work with John Gruden. But I think it comes down to how much money he wants, because what you take is a reflection of what you're worth, obviously. And if they're offering you league minimum, well, I'm above league minimum, if that's what Carson Wentz thinks, and he surely does. He was the second overall pick in the draft. And there's that idea of, do you truly accept your role as a backup, or will you go in there with an attitude that you're better than the starter? That's been, I think, a concern as well. Is he truly willing to accept
where
he fits right now? Kind of like Cam Newton. It's one of the reasons why Cam Newton doesn't have a job. Yeah, he says, I'll be a backup, but on my terms. And here's the teams I'll be a backup of. No. To be a backup, you never even talk about it. You just go be a backup.
Yes, agreed. That's what they want from a backup. They don't want a guy that's going to divide the football team and cause, you know, issues in the locker room and the media and all that. And I think that's where people are scared of Wentz. You know, there's been all the talk about, yeah, how he handles certain situations, locker rooms, relationships, whatever. None of it's looked real good. And then back to the thing that we talk about all the time too, Mike. He's one of those guys that, you know, as a backup, he can be probably a little threatening. And not every team likes that. Never every team wants their backup to be this huge Adonis presence who's got a rifle for an arm that's going to make, you know, people in the locker room every now and then go, wait, why doesn't he play? Look what he's doing at practice and all that. And that's where the team has to remind him and go, oh, look at some of the decisions he made last year. That's why he's the backup. But yeah, I think that the myriad of reasons of why he's still on the street.
Great graphic, by the way. Great heading. Made me think of the old Talking Heads song. And the music starts to filter into my brain. Once in a lifetime. Very well done. That said, and it made me lose my train of thought, I think that it's going to take an injury to create urgency.
Yep.
To have his phone ring and say, come on in and show us what you can do. And there has to be a path to playing both ways. He's going to want it, and I think it's going to have to be a team that presents it, that needs it. We're down to QB3. We need someone else to be ready to go in case QB3 stinks or gets injured, and that's where his opportunity is going to come. So stay ready. I think at some point between now and January, he will get a call and he'll get an opportunity, but I don't think it's going to be sooner. I think it's going
to
be later.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's going to take something to happen. You know, whether that's a team that loses a starter or loses a backup that feels like, hey, we're a good team and, you know, we need somebody that can come in here and make some plays and protect us a little bit. Yeah, I think that's where Carson Wentz will come into play. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we bid farewell to Chris. Not for good, just for 5 weeks and a day, because he doesn't work Fridays. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Simsisms. You know, calmer waters prevail a little bit or whatever.
I think we got it all straightened out. And yeah, there was a little issue. We let some, you know, calmer waters prevail a little bit or whatever. And now we're back here at work.
Simsisms.
Man, I'm so numb to it. I didn't even catch that.
Oh, I did. I knew
it. I'm looking for creative usage of the English language, not just meandering through whatever you're trying to say. That's really not a Simsism. That's just kind of, you know, not swimming in calm waters.
Yeah, right.
So you're gonna be swimming in your pool. What are you gonna be doing? We have a countdown. We had a countdown clock to when you're off air.
Yeah,
it's under a minute right now.
You know
what?
What
are you gonna do? What's the number one thing you're gonna do other than what we've already talked about?
Well, it's family time. It's you know, cookouts. It's going to the beach. That's the number one thing. You know, enjoying my son's little league baseball games, right? Taking the lawn chair out there to those games, sitting there enjoying it. That I look forward to that. Slow pace of life, just being able to check out a little bit, and I definitely will be in the pool. Like almost daily, Mike. Get your ass in the pool.
How many horses do you have?
I have two horses. Yep.
I've never thought of this before. Do you ride the horse, or does the horse ride you?
Well, I don't ride anything. That's for sure. I know that.
See the horse when you come over. I can see the horse say no. It's
yeah.
not happening.
No, they don't want.
That
they don't want
a
piece of me.
That thing is not getting on me. And don't feed the bears.
All right. I'll see you in
Chris.
A month, everybody.
Everybody,
see
you tomorrow.